Welcome, everybody. Hi, this is Joanna Lindenbaum of joannalindenbaum.com, and I am just so thrilled to be here with all of you today for our coaching mastery practicum. We are going to get a lot done in a short amount of time today. I want to share a little bit about why I decided to hold these coaching mastery practicums. It's because I've noticed lately that in the self-help and transformational industries that there's so much emphasis that's being placed on marketing, how to market your business. And that's important. I teach a lot of that. But what I've noticed is that with all of the emphasis that we place on marketing and funnels and how to create ads and all of this, we've actually really not placed enough emphasis on delivering quality services. We haven't placed enough emphasis on leveling up our coaching skills, leveling up our communication skills, leveling up our mentorship skills so that we as practitioners, as coaches, as teachers, as healers, as trainers, so that we can really deliver the absolute best and highest result. One of the reasons why I think this is so important is because I really believe strongly in the transformational and coaching industries. I believe that we are meant to be part of the bigger healing in this world. We're really meant to impact the world in a big way, the coaching industry as a whole. And the best way that we can make a big impact as an industry is to become the best that we can be at what we do. And here's the thing about it is, not only by upping our coaching skills, not only does it help us deliver better results to our clients, but in my, many, many years of being a business owner and helping others build their businesses, what I've come to see is that the very best way that you can grow your business is actually by delivering amazing results. Because when you deliver amazing results to your clients, they re-sign, they buy from you over and over again. They tell their friends and their colleagues about you. You build an amazing reputation. Because there's this little secret in the transformational industry, and this little dirty secret is that people are worried about their businesses because they're scared that they're not delivering enough results. They're not making enough of an impact. And in today's world, like really, a new coach is born every 90 seconds or so. So in order to also just get noticed more, we want to up our skills. So my mission is really to support coaches and healers and servicepreneurs and trainers in being the best of the best at what you do, and to support you in mastery of your skills. And so that's what we're going to do a little bit of today. The way that the session is going to work is that I am going to be I'm going to be coaching a volunteer for about 18 to 20 minutes. And after I coach her, I'll model some skills for you. And then after I coach her, then we'll take some time and we'll break down the skills that I used, why I made certain coaching decisions that I made as I was doing it. And the reason why this is such a great way for you to learn is because when you witness somebody else modeling skills, you can process on a whole other level what's going on. It's so much better than just being told, oh, you know, you should do this, this, and this, or these are good coaching skills. You're going to get to see it in real time and learn it in a much, much deeper way. So I am really, really excited. Let's go ahead and get our volunteer on the line. It's Miranda. Miranda, let me tell you what to press so that we can get you live. *7.
Are you there? Hi, Joanna.
Yes. Hi, Miranda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'm so excited to be able to coach you for a little bit today. Before we jump in a sentence or two, just tell everybody who you are and what you do.
I am a teacher and a healer, and I've been training and doing stuff from Taoist tradition, so Qigong, energetics from Chinese medicine, Tai Chi, stuff like that. And through YSB, I figured out how to combine the two approaches that changed everything for me. And I think it's much more powerful.
Beautiful, beautiful. And for those folks listening in who don't know what YSB is, that stands for Your Sacred Business, and it's my foundational business building program for entrepreneurs that Miranda was in. And it's been amazing to watch you be able to integrate all of the different things that you do, Miranda, and then come up with a much higher and bigger message for your work and communicate that. So tell us what you would like to walk away with from the coaching session today.
I've been invited to do a special presentation, kind of retreat, although people won't be staying on site in April. And it will be the largest group I've ever had to hold space with, probably about 12 women. And so that's a little nervous making.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what makes me most nervous is I'm constantly checking in with each individual when I'm even teaching a Qigong class, and certainly when I'm doing energetic teaching. And, you know, I will do that. I'm a little afraid of being, I guess, overwhelmed or doing it poorly. That new size, new kind of leveling up this offering. Anything you can help me with would be appreciated.
Okay, great. So let's just get even more clear. Let me just share with you what I'm hearing. So first of all, yay, on the retreat. It's so exciting that you got invited and that it's the biggest group you've presented to. How are you feeling about it? I know you're nervous, but are you feeling good that you manifested this?
Good. Absolutely, yeah.
Good.
Very happy.
I'm so glad. And so it sounds like you're nervous and worried that when you're actually presenting, you get overwhelmed and you feel like maybe you're not doing as well as you could. And so then you end up checking in with people a lot. Am I getting that right?
Well, part of so teaching Qigong is more physical, but this is a Ovarian Kung Fu that I'm going to be teaching. So it's a lot of energetic practices, and some people will be experienced and some are new. So I actually, my ideal is to continually check in or connect with people to see where they are.
Okay.
And I don't know if I can maintain that ideal with this new size or how to do it maybe, or if I should do it, you know.
Yes, got it. So by the time that we're done with our coaching today, what is it that you want?
To have a little more clarity about how to approach it, and even if I'm still nervous, to have a feeling of confidence. I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Yep, got it. Okay, so I want to get clear on how to approach this issue of needing to continually check in on the energetic piece with the Kung Fu, and then also to feel confident about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So my sense is, let's look at the confidence piece first, because I think it's going to inform the approach around the checking in. Meaning, maybe you should be checking in as much as you are. We don't know yet. But if you're very nervous about it, that's likely, you know, informing how much you are checking in. Does that resonate for you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. So when you say that you're nervous, what is it exactly that you're nervous about?
Well, I guess really want every single woman to have to go away with something substantial and special.
Mm-hmm.
And can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
I am confident that I can do that working with my clients one-on-one, especially over time as I introduce them to new things. But that's what it is, I think.
Yeah. Okay, good. And what happens when you think about the group? Because I hear you that you're confident on the one-on-one, and I know that groups are different, but what's the belief there about the group that's telling you that it's harder to give everybody something substantial and something special?
One belief is that the group requires more, like exponentially more.
Mm-hmm.
And the image in my mind is just sort of this room of faceless people, because I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a monolith rather than connecting with individuals, which might be part of my block or nervousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say that it's true that if the room wasn't full of faceless people, but if you felt connected, more connected in some way to the people in the room, that it wouldn't make you as nervous, that you couldn't deliver?
Definitely, yeah.
Great. So let's take a look at that for a moment. So it is true, when you walk into a retreat, especially if it's not prior clients, you're being invited by another organization, it is true that you aren't going to know those 12 women in the room when you step in. What might you be able to do on inner or outer level to transform that room from a faceless sea of people to, even though you won't know their life stories or maybe even not remember their names at first, but to transform that into a feeling of connection and relationship?
Well, two things come to mind. One is if I can get their email beforehand, I could write them directly and introduce myself and ask them to write me back. They just give their name and maybe just not grilling them, but maybe asking, I enjoyed the way you limited our reaching out by saying, what's one word? You know, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you could even ask them one or two questions about the topic that you're going to be presenting on to get them thinking beforehand, and so that you can get some background information on them.
Yeah. it is very helpful for me to know if they've done anything else, anything, mm-hmm. you know, body, mind, mm-hmm. stuff.
Great.
And
great.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I have adopted what I learned from you at the retreat, the first facilitation retreat, which is in for my classes, and that I make it a point to personally connect with everyone coming into the room when
mm-hmm.
I teach a movement class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be kind of essential
yeah.
this time around also. And it will
yeah.
make it easier if I have an email with them first, so I'll be able to connect the, you know, say something more than, hi, how are you?
Yeah, yeah. So you've got two really great strategies here for being able to connect personally. So sending this email beforehand, you introducing yourself, asking them to introduce themselves with some targeted questions so that you can also get some information that you need. The other reason why that's so great, it's always wonderful to send questions ahead of time before any retreat or workshop or classes. It helps the participants begin to get engaged and invested in the retreat even before they show up. So there is that. It's not only that you're getting to know them, but they're getting to know you, and everybody's investing in this relationship and getting more excited to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is, once you get there, to really personally connect with each person in the room. And if you wanted, you could even take it a step further and have all of the notes that they sent you, and you could take some time at the beginning of that retreat to, you know, 12 people is probably not too much, that you could connect in the circle with each woman mm-hmm. and even go over her answers, or just ask a question that everybody answers there when they get there.
That's a great idea. Yeah, and it also connects them to each other as they
yes.
hear each other.
Yes, builds that connection. That's right. It builds that community and that sisterhood, which allows them to be even more vulnerable and open and present during the retreat.
Mm.
So let's pause here for a moment. So how is all of this feeling so far when you think about this nervousness around delivering something substantial and special?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I'm a tremendously visual person, and as we're talking about it, I always, like most people, I visualize what we're talking about, and it went from the auditorium of rows of seats with faceless people to something a little more organic, and each woman, even though she was imaginary, was much more fleshed out, much more real to me.
Mm.
Big difference in the way that felt.
Yeah, and what is the? How does that feel?
Well, it feels doable, and it feels, instead of like me being challenged and on the line, like something I'm going to really enjoy doing, that it's going to be fun as well as satisfying and challenging and all. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Really nice shift. And so then let me check in. You know, one of the other things that you said a little bit earlier that you were nervous about is that the group requires exponentially more energy than the one-on-one. Now that we've shifted this this piece around the connection to the people, is this other belief still in play or not? And it's okay if it is, but I just want to check in on that.
I don't think it's completely gone, but if the community connection can be built, instead of me sending out all of my energy, you know, doing my work, then it becomes being met halfway, where they're sending to me and I'm sending to them, and that's very different. It's still going to be a new thing, but not the possibility of exhaustion, I guess.
That's such a significant revelation right there, right? Because before this conversation, you were going into that retreat, Miranda, feeling like there's all these people in the room, it all has to be maintained by me, by my life force, through my energy. So of course that belief that, you know, the group requires exponentially more energy than the one was going to be there, right? But now that we've shifted to this, you having a relationship with each person, them having a relationship with each other, you can see that, yes, of course, you know, 12 people is more than one, for sure, but it's the maintaining the energy isn't all on you. It's going to be part of the container and the community as a whole.
That's such a relief.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. So based on everything that we've been looking at, when you think about this checking in continually, when you're doing the energetic work, what are some new ideas that are coming through there?
Well, I guess one idea is that this is a different offering, and therefore it's going to progress differently. So the checking in, when I teach a Qigong class, 90 minutes, the class is fluid, and I change things on the fly using checking in with my body and others, what I'm getting from other people. And in this case, and I don't do that when I teach, for instance, a particular thing. So I'm applying something that's not really relevant to this process, to this retreat. And if I'm clear about what I'm going to present and the order I'm presenting it, I should just have faith in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would require a lot less checking in if I'm not doing it on the fly, which I won't be. I mean, this is a completely different thing. I wasn't planning on it, but I'm not expressing myself clearly, but it's, the checking in is an error. I'm not going to have to do that.
Beautiful. And just so that we really kind of support this new opening that I'm hearing, you know, that you don't have to do that check-in, that that's an error, that the way this is set up is different, and that you're ready to have more faith in how you're setting it up and the structure so that you don't need those continual check-ins. What's the belief around the checking in that you want to go into this retreat with? What's the belief that you're ready to step into here?
That I'm capable and what I'm going to offer is precious and powerful. And that I should just go with that.
Yes. So I want you to write that down, that you're capable and that what you're offering is precious and valuable. We know that that's the foundation that is going to be required for you to be able to step into this retreat and not out of fear move into that, let me check in with them
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So because you're such a visual person, what I want to invite you to do next is to take a moment, close your eyes, and first just feel in your body this new belief that I'm capable and what I'm offering is precious and valuable. Let's take a couple breaths and really bring that in and just tell me how that feels in your body.
It is heart opening. So I feel in my body when I'm really under the gun and not sure of myself, I kind of pull my heart in, or I guess you'd say toward my spine. and then shifts the posture, and then relaxed and confident, I can open my heart forward.
Beautiful, beautiful. So let's take, yeah, good. So let's take that even a step further, and I want you to visualize yourself with this heart open, this posture of I'm capable, and I have something very valuable to offer here. And I want you to see yourself in the retreat, and you may or may not know what the room looks like yet, that's okay, but I want you to see yourself, heart open, leading the retreat with these women that you have already gotten to know beforehand through these emails and are connected with. What does that look like for you?
Well, it's very different. Instead of that academic hall, it's like a space with comfy chairs and everybody's sitting in a domestic, friendly environment. And I'm standing up completely relaxed. Yeah, very different. The light is different. Yeah.
Good. Good. So what are you taking from our coaching today?
How essential it is to really contemplate sort of, assumptions or where I'm taking myself with my thinking that's not really being examined and where I might be going off. And how often it happens.
And why is that important that you're seeing here how often you take yourself out?
It just is bringing home how important it is to center and kind of work through these things, like what is it that I might be that is making me nervous? What is the image I'm conjuring, and what does that mean?
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Good. Okay, so we'll call that a wrap on the coaching portion. And I want to hear from you, Miranda, and then from other folks listening in. But first, let me hear from you. So how was that for you as the client?
I love the way you basically unpacked what I was thinking, and I never felt criticized or threatened. I mean, my view threatened or any negativity at all, and yet ended up in a fresh new place.
Yeah, I'm so glad to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say it was fabulous.
Good. Good. I'm so glad to hear it. And you're pulling out one really important coaching skill or coaching tool that's important for everyone, which is that when somebody presents with a really strong belief that we know as coaches or practitioners is a limiting belief, right? So in your case, it was that the group is going to require exponentially more work than the one-on-one. So even though standing from my point of view, coach, I know that that doesn't have to be true for you, but as I step in and we unpack it, I'm not going to negate it for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment that I negate it, then you go, the client's going to go into their resistance or they're going to disconnect from the conversation. So you always want to honor and respect the limiting beliefs, but then also work through them.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Good, good. Thank you so much, Miranda, for volunteering. And I'm going to actually put us into lecture mode. And I'd love to hear from some of the other folks on the call. Well, let me get us into lecture mode here for a moment. Okay, great. So it's star 2 to raise your hand. And I'd love to hear either what you observed, so coaching skills or tools that you observed through the model coaching, or any questions that you have. Let's pull out some more pieces from the coaching. What else did you see? Star 2. I'll jump in with some stuff, but I'd love to hear what you're observing first. Okay, let's see. I took somebody off mute. Last four numbers, 0282.
Oh, hey, it's Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What was really helpful was the reminder, as you were talking with her about the group, about just what can be done even ahead of time to connect in a way of, like, asking the questions and letting them start thinking about things ahead of time, so that it's this, like, whole picture. It's not just for what happens while you're there with the group, but to get in that flow leading up to it by engaging in that way. And I think that's an easy one to forget. There's so many other details and so many other things that I can tell she was, thinking about and needing help. That was like a very helpful connector. So that was a helpful reminder for me too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is great for both facilitating groups and just coaching one-on-one, or even if you don't consider yourself a official coach, whatever type of work that you're doing is, we do want to feel connected with new clients. So sending questions ahead of time, welcome packets, focus reports, that kind of thing can really, really help with the connection there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you're pulling that out. Awesome. Let's see. Star 2. I feel like there was some other hands. I may have by mistake dropped them. Okay. Let's see. Last four numbers. I took you off mute. 2069. I think this is Monica.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I wanted to acknowledge how much of an amazing job you did with managing your own fixer. And that's one of the things that I struggle with a lot in my coaching calls, because although she was presenting with this concern that you could have easily said, you could have easily just broken it down for her and led her to towards possible solutions, you refrained from doing it, and you did it so fluently and so effortlessly. That was just really amazing to me. The one question that was posed that just sort of broke that whole conversation open was when you asked her, what could you do on an inner and outer level to feel more connected? And so that was just a huge reminder to me to trust that the client has their own answers, that the wisdom is there, and it's truly our job as a coach to tap into that and help them to find their way. So managing that fixer was huge for me, especially given all of your expertise with facilitating large groups. So I just really had a profound appreciation for that.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward. This is a great observation and another just such an important coaching skill that you're touching on. You're right. Because, as coaches, we might know the answers, right? And we want to go in and just give the solution. But here's the thing. There's actually two really important pieces to this. Number one, we may not know even if we have a ton of expertise, we may not know the exact right aligned solution for the client. Most of the time, the client actually knows the exact aligned solution. And if we just jump in to fix, then we block that creativity and that problem solving that can come through. The other reason why it's so important not to jump into fixer mode and to hold ourselves back is because for the client, learning and processing will happen on a much deeper level if they come up with the answer or part of the answer themselves first. They will follow through. They'll have a much better chance of following through and of really getting the lesson if you support them to find it, as opposed to you just giving them the lesson. So I love that you're bringing this up. You're absolutely right. It's so important. And I think this is the other piece I'll pull out of what you were sharing. You know, when I asked her, what can you do on an inner and outer level, a couple things. I didn't jump straight to the finding the solution question either. I could have asked that question when we first started, but Miranda wasn't yet in a place to answer that question. At the beginning of the session, we needed to get deeper into the beliefs first and to unpack what was happening with this room of faceless people and how that could shift, you know, like for her to really be able to see it before we could find the solution. And just the other piece of that I'm going to pull out is I very, very purposefully didn't just ask, well, what can the solution be here? I very purposely added the phrase, on the inner or the outer level, because I could see, right, that they're both of those things needed to happen. So so glad you brought. Go ahead.
No, I just said yes. Brilliant, absolutely.
Oh, good, good. So glad you brought that forward. Awesome. Who else? Star two. What are you seeing? Observing, what questions do you have about the coaching demonstration that will help bring you closer to mastery? All right, well, I'll let me share a couple of other pieces. I can't unpack everything on this short call, but I want to unpack a couple of things. First, I just want to point out, did you guys notice we didn't coach for more than 18 or 19 minutes? I share this not to be like, oh, I'm so great, as a coach, not that, but to really, I want you to note it, because oftentimes we feel like we have to go over time, we're doing really long sessions and we can't get to it, but there is a way, if you ask the right questions and mirror back and listen, that you can really get to solutions quite quickly. Some of the other pieces I want to pull out, the very beginning, Miranda said that she wanted clarity on how to approach this, continual checking in piece. And then she also wanted to have more confidence, right? And I'm sure you guys noticed, and I shared this with Miranda, that I wanted to look at the confidence piece first before we got to the more of the outer solution piece, which was the clarity on the approach. When you're coaching, I don't want to say this happens every time, but 9 times out of 10, when a client wants more clarity on something that they're really stumped on and they just haven't been able to find the solution, you want to go into the inner work first. The inner work almost always, I'm going to say always, informs the outer work. You will get the solution and the right solution, the most aligned solution, much more easily and much more quickly if you actually go into the inner pieces first. We feel sometimes like, oh, it's going to be a waste of time or it's going to take too much time. Let's just get straight to the nitty-gritty. But actually the opposite is true. Let's see, what else do I want to pull out here? The other piece I'd like to pull out just for today is I did take a couple of moments, I'm sure you noticed, I did take the time with Miranda at the end to have her feel and see what it was like, this new belief that she was stepping into, to have her feel into the confidence. And to feel into that she was really delivering something that's precious and of service, right? And the reason why I took the time to do that is because learning happens on many different levels. And a big mistake that we often make in coaching and in facilitating groups is that we keep the learning and the processing on the intellectual level. And that's great. It's great to learn and process on the intellectual level. We always want that to be part of the experience. But in order to create true results, we want to get into the body as well. We want to, you know, oftentimes get into the soul too, but we definitely want to get into the body. And particularly because Miranda had told me that she was a visual person, I knew she had given me that cue earlier in the call that when she can visualize something, then she makes a body memory of it. Then it becomes more real for her. Then it takes root and can become a real change for her. So I really wanted to make sure that she could visualize herself in this, in the room of the retreat, with her heart open, feeling this confidence. So now she can take that body memory with her into that retreat. So with that, I am going to wish you all a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you so much for coming to this call today. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you very soon. Bye.